Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
In this AudioCast 43, I get a little personal and I share my opinion about all the craziness that's happening in our world. So sit back and...
One, two, three, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. And as I mentioned in the intro, as an appetizer or this amuse-bouche to a deep dish discussion, I'm actually going to share with you what's kind of been on my heart and mind for a while, especially in regards to all of the craziness that we hear on the news. So let me just give you in full disclosure, I usually want to try to avoid political and polemical division and debates. I think we have enough of that already. But people ask me all the time. In fact, I put it out on Twitter. You know, what did you think of the president's recent address about the wall and immigration? Because this is not just an American thing. This is happening around the world. And so I asked, do you want to hear my opinion as a Catholic priest, or do you want to hear my opinion as an immigrant who came to this country, my gosh, almost 50 years ago, but who also studied political science and has a penchant for politics? Or do you want to hear my opinion about immigration and the president and all things political through the lens of a cook? So guess what? I'm going to answer your question about my opinion, not just as a Catholic and a priest, but as someone who studied political science, and yep, someone who has a job to feed people body, mind, and soul with a little bitter herbs of truth. So get ready for a deep dish discussion as I share my opinion about all things political. But don't worry, folks, it's not going to be a difficult pill to swallow, but it is going to take some discerning. So get ready to chew on this deep dish discussion. We hope you're enjoying this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, brought to you by Catholic Speakers Organization, the world's largest bureau of Catholic speakers, musicians, and presenters. So if you want a faith-filled event with a great presenter, performer, speaker, or musician, you can find them all at CatholicSpeakers.com. And welcome back for a deep dish discussion. Usually I would have a guest with me, but I'm going to tap into my multiple personalities. And so let's just kind of get right to it. I want to just let people know that what I speak today is my opinion only. I do not intend to represent the entire Catholic Church because I know that it is really a big church. And I hate using that term because it makes it feel as if we can have so many different opinions and still believe and be good Catholics. And I honestly think that that still is true, that we can have many different opinions and yet we can still be very good Catholics, because Catholics isn't just in the doing or obeying, but it's also in the questioning. And where did this all come into play? Well, I'll tell you. Recently for my institute, we have these monthly gatherings. They're nights of formation. And we had a great discussion about early church heresies, namely Pelagianism and a form of Gnosticism. And while there are a lot of lay people in my community, they didn't quite understand all of that. So I got a chance to kind of dig deep from my theological experience and kind of share with them what a heresy is, because in today's world, we're heretics, we are hypocrites, we are bad Catholics, and there are just too many issues, and they're all just kind of jumbled all together, and we don't know how to make sense of it all. But I will tell you this, that every heresy, whether it be Pelagianism, which is the heresy of thinking that we can work for our salvation, or Gnosticism, which actually existed before Christianity and continued after the fathers of the church in the first three centuries, Gnosticism was a type of I know something about God that you don't, and therefore you've got to kind of believe me, from the Greek gnosis, which is knowledge. So an agnostic is someone who is against the gnosis, this higher wisdom. But don't get caught up in the weeds here. I'm just kind of laying the groundwork. Heresies continue today in our Catholic Church. But the ancient heresies were actually founded by very faithful people. They were kind of discovered by very faithful people who had nuggets of truth. But they let their limited understanding of truth take over the fuller picture of truth, and that's why they're considered heretics. So, for example, Origen was almost, who was a father of the church, he was almost considered a semi-Pelagian. He was almost considered like a heretic. I look at Jansenism, for example. Jansenism is a little later, but it's a heresy. You could sum it up by saying God doesn't smile, that God is more penitential, that God appreciates penance more than he does celebration. So God would probably, this is the heresy of Jansenism, God would much rather us be praying on our knees all day than singing joyful songs of praise that we sometimes see in different churches with contemporary music. A Jansenist would hate a contemporary mass. They would certainly not like that at all. But in all of this, what I'm trying to say as I kind of start off here is I don't want to be accused of a heretic, but I also know that a heretic, they were not bad people. They were just wrong. They were limited in their understanding of truth, but they focused on that limited understanding of truth, and that became their way of practicing their faith. And I can only say that, you know, we burned, the Catholic Church burned to death St. Joan of Arc because they thought she was a heretic, when in fact she was a saint. I mean, St. Francis of Assisi, before he was very holy, was accused of being too harsh. I mean, Pope Innocent basically told him, I can't accept your constitutions to form this religious community because you're wacky, Frank. I mean, Francis, you're just not a normal person, and you really got to kind of scale back on the disciplines you want to give to your community. You know, thankfully, he did do it, you know, and so he was willing to see a bigger picture. You take a look at Martin Luther, and he could have been a saint if he kept his protesting within the church. But he didn't. He took it outside the church, nailing a 95 thesis on the cathedral. And so he kind of made it bigger. He made his view the biggest view of all. So I'm kind of laying down this groundwork because I want to share with you my opinions, and they are certainly my opinions, about things that are unfortunately a religionizing of politics and also a politicization of religion. It's almost as if you like Francis, then you must be kind of a liberal. If you liked Pope Benedict, then you're probably conservative. When in fact, Pope Benedict did something incredibly liberal, he resigned. And so you can't say that one is more liberal or conservative, and I just can't stand this kind of language, even though I myself used it and continue to some degree pigeonhole people that way as, oh, this person is just a little bit more liberal or this person is a little bit more conservative. We're going to be very limited in how we explain our positions. But I will say this, even if I disagree with a conservative or a liberal, I still have to love them. And what does that look like? Well, let's get very specific with some big hot topic issues. And so I'm sorry if I kind of took you on a little circle. I just wanted to, in a longer roundabout way, say, Relax, people. I'm going to talk about some controversial things. It's not going to kill you to hear someone else's opinion. In fact, it might even be helpful so that you yourself can form an opinion for yourself. It's not going to make your opinion the most powerful truth by which to live, but it's going to at least give you a framework in how to operate and move in this world where opinions have become gospel dogmatic facts. And so I just want to share with you my opinion, and please don't be hurling, you know, stones at me saying, oh, it's because you're a liberal. Oh, it's because you're a conservative. Because all I'm going to do is share with you my opinion as a Catholic priest, as an immigrant who studied politics, and also as a cook, which actually has probably more practical import than you can ever imagine. So let's just get started right now, and I'm just going to share with you my opinion about this whole debate regarding immigration. Currently, as I'm recording this show, we are now in the longest shutdown of government, and I know that people on both sides want to say, demonize the other for the shutdown. Fact is, a shutdown occurs because we don't know how to work together. And is that President Trump's fault? Yes. Is it Pelosi's and Schumer's fault? Yes. It's everyone's fault if they can't work together. I will say that I am following the news, and I saw that right before the shutdown, Trump actually came to Schumer and Pelosi with a tremendous amount of concessions, more than I thought that he could ever, you know, deal with, and they turned them down because this is no longer about facts. This is about principle. And therefore, as a priest, I cannot tell you if I'm for a wall or not. I'm going to give you what should be the principle of a Catholic priest, and maybe for Catholics. Well, the wall is an interesting thing because we do know that as a Catholic, I even need to go through security before I go to St. Peter's Basilica. That's just the reality. About 25 years ago, when I was a seminarian studying at the North American College, we used to be able to go right into St. Peter's, and there was no line whatsoever, and there was no security. September the 11th, 2001 kicked in, and you better believe there was security. There was security even get into my own seminary building. Before September the 11th, 2001, I used to be able to walk into the back gate of the Vatican and get a salute from the Swiss guards. It was the coolest thing ever, I got to admit. It was a very cool thing to get saluted by the Swiss guards, but we would just walk in. They knew me, and I would just walk in. And I would go to the back into the inner sanctum, the sacristy, the very place where even the Pope gets vested. And I would be there for an early morning mass, either to serve for a bishop or for a visiting priest, or even when I was a priest, I would be able just to waltz right in. Not anymore. The Vatican is very walled. I know that people have brought this up, that it was a medieval time. Yes, but the same struggles in medieval time are the same ones now. But what is my opinion? Should we have a wall? What do we do with immigration? My opinion as a Catholic priest must be through the lens of Jesus Christ. What, in a sense, would Jesus do? Well, it's kind of hard to imagine that now because he existed in a space and time, but we can at least say this. Jesus probably wouldn't demonize the other, and he wouldn't get involved in politics. He would just simply say we need to just care for people and love people, which is exactly what we need to do. But as a priest, we've got to be careful, and so I'm going to even throw out some categories. I don't live anywhere near the border. I live in Maryland, a big city that has its own problems and struggles. And yes, you better believe I lock my doors and I tell my family to do the same. So I do think that as a priest, I can't be stupid and just have this open door policy. I mean, even priests lock up their rectories, you know. I mean, gosh, and try to even get through the parish secretary. That's kind of like a big wall that you kind of have to get through before you can meet with the priest. And so these boundaries are a reality. But what we can't do is demonize the people on the inside, nor can we demonize the people on the outside of those boundaries. So the first thing we need to do as a Christian and as a priest is I need to just shut the faith up a little bit. Just literally shut up about the politics. And I just find that there are too many people on Twitter representing the Catholic Church, either as a priest or as a layperson, spouting off their opinions. And I think that some opinions are going to be a little bit more valid than the others. So if you don't live anywhere near the border, or if your part of the world is not completely affected by waves of immigration, then I'm just going to just suggest that we not say anything. But if you live near the border, what I'd recommend is have a very measured response that is, as a Catholic, going to be more about caring for people on both sides of this proverbial barrier, wall, fence, border, you name it. I mean, we can't demonize people. So I think the people who live closest to the border have a little bit more of a voice to say than people who don't. Who else should have a little bit more of a voice to say are priests and nuns and missionaries and Catholics who are actually working in the countries where the mass departure is occurring. I think I would love to hear from the priests and the bishop of El Salvador or wherever, you know, these migrants are coming from. I would love to hear their opinion. And what are they doing to help bring about a sense of justice so that people can stay at home rather than feel like they have to flee in very dangerous territories and in dangerous ways, put themselves and their family in harm's way. I would love to hear about that. I would love to hear from them. That's kind of why I stay away from it, because my opinion is just not as informed. And I will have to say, there are many people whose opinions are completely uninformed. And that's a problem for me, simply because it just creates a lot more noise. So my opinion as a Catholic and as a Catholic priest, I gotta love people on both sides of the border. I should say a lot less, especially if I'm not a missionary working with the people there. You know, if I don't know what it's like and I don't know what it's like at the border, I really shouldn't say anything. All I can do is pray for them. And if any of them come to my door, I can at least care for them and love them. But if I am near the border and if I am living and working in the countries where the mass migration is occurring, then we need to make sure that we are speaking in a non-political way, and I'm speaking as a Catholic, just so that we can show compassion for the people leaving their country and compassion for the people who have to welcome them into their country. And so I just think we need a lot less noise and a lot more clarity. That's me speaking as a priest and as a Catholic. Hopefully that gives you something to think about. It's just my opinion. Now what I want to do is talk to you a little bit about me as an immigrant, as a political science major and student, and as someone who, if you follow me on Twitter or Instagram, you got it right. I can get a little political and some people don't like it. Some people don't know what I am exactly because I say things that are kind of more traditional and I say things that are a little bit more liberal. And that's just kind of the person I am. And I'm sorry to say that if you're going to try to pigeonhole me, you're going to have a real difficult time because guess what? I say mass in Latin, but I love guitar, contemporary worship music, even with drums. I'm sorry. I've been to places where they have contemporary music and it's just awesome. Drums and keyboard and guitar and yeah, maybe even a little tambourine action. I mean, in fact, singing folk music, contemporary music now, but it was considered folk music when I was younger, was what got me involved in the church. But guess what I also do? I also say mass in Latin, so relax. I say this because people just, again, they don't know how to take these answers if it's not just one or the other. And when I say I gave you my opinion as a priest and as a Catholic, you're going to hear that that is one approach. Here's another approach. I'm going to share with you my opinion about immigration as an immigrant who studied political science. Technically, the president has every right and the privilege to declare a national emergency and to put up the wall. I never believed for a second that Mexico would be paying directly for the construction of a wall, but he was using that simply as a way to fire up his base, clearly knowing that it was going to be a negotiation process as in trade wars, that they would not be receiving either the money from America or that they would have to be paying penalties, which in a sense would be paying for the wall. Okay, so that's that. Do I like President Trump? I think he's just as crooked as any other politician. And you heard the doorbell ring, so I'll be right back with more Shoot the Shiitake in just a moment. We hope you're enjoying this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, and this month for our premium subscribers, I'm going to be sharing with all of our listeners a pro-life response to anyone who raises issues from the pro-choice / pro-abortion movement. And that basically goes to all the people who donate $10 or more each month. We can't thank you enough for your support. You could also advertise with us and get this premium content. And to do that, please just simply go to shoottheshiitake.com and make your donation to support conversations that lead to conversion with extra special premium content, especially for you. Thank you very much and enjoy the show. And welcome back for the second part of this deep dish discussion. Basically, it's my monologue, and I'm sharing with you now, as I continue, my opinion regarding immigration from a Filipino immigrant and also a political scientist. Okay, you heard my opinion the first time about what I think as a Catholic and as a priest. Now, here are my thoughts as an immigrant. So, a little background. I came to America when I was only 2 years old. My dad actually came to this country on a visa looking for foreign medical graduates. So, he was invited into this country. He took full advantage of that. And he actually separated from my family for almost a year and a half to prepare a home for us while he himself worked. This kind of sounds a lot like what a lot of immigrants do. Even today, they will make the sacrifice and they will leave their own home only to go to a better place where they can kind of work, establish themselves, establish a home, and then petition for their family to come. That's exactly what happened in my case. I came to America in February of 1972, dressed for the tropics, but came into a blizzard through Alaska, of all places, with my mother and my three other siblings. She traveled the whole way on her own. And so it was very challenging. This has nothing to do or in comparison with the struggles that the immigrants are going through right now. But it was hard back then. It was difficult for them to do. But here's the thing. One thing as a political scientist that I get kind of frustrated about is that we are a nation of laws and not just a nation of feelings. Again, if we want to base our decisions on feelings, I think our feelings need to be informed by our faith, which is why I gave you that whole first part of the show. But now we have to balance this out by being a nation of laws. And the one thing that people are not bringing up as clearly is, number one, the law itself. We aren't even following currently the laws for immigration. Secondly, those laws are so unfollowed because they're bad and they need to be completely revamped. But right now, all we get is just name-calling back and forth, and it's not helping anyone, which is why, as an immigrant, I get a little annoyed knowing that it took us 12 years before we can even apply for our green card, and then years after that before we can apply for citizenship because we did it the lawful way. And so when people simply come, and do I agree with asylum? To a degree, I do, for people who can prove that they're not coming just for prosperity, but for protection. There's a big difference between the motivation as to why people are coming into a country. And so even in Jesus's time, when people like to say, oh, but Joseph and Mary fled to Egypt, you better believe that he had to have paperwork and had to have some sort of stability. But his situation was kind of different from what people are doing now. I mean, he was literally trying to save his family's life. Now, in a way, some people are doing the same thing from the drug culture, from all of the legalities, the politics. They might be fleeing as political asylums. And I get it. And I completely respect that. At the same time, instead of just simply focusing on the wall, could there also be energies devoted towards fixing the problems in the countries where these people are coming from? America is an amazingly blessed country, and still, I would say it, we are one nation under God. I think people want to come to America because they do see how we can actually fulfill our dream. And so while I want to say that everyone is welcome, that's not 100% true from a political point of view. Not everyone is welcome in America. And I'm not trying to be mean, and I know that I'm going to get probably a lot of hate mail and just add to it. I am just saying this, though, that as a political scientist, student, and as an immigrant, I think we need to remember that we are a nation of laws and not simply a nation that bases decisions on feelings, that we have to make sure we understand why people come. Is it for political reason? Is it for prosperity? Is it for protection? And yes, is it a case-by-case thing? Absolutely. I think we should not only put money into making sure that the country itself has identifiable borders, but we also have a lot of money dedicated to case studies of people who want to come legally. Why? Because while America is great, it is not heaven. It is clearly not heaven. We can't answer everyone's problems, especially knowing that within our own country, and I travel around this country quite a bit, there are problems even within the United States. And so there's a lot of people who struggle and they don't exactly have the ability to even fulfill their dreams simply because monies are being directed elsewhere. And so I just want to make sure that people understand I'm not saying that I'm anti-immigration, because those kind of terms, anti, pro, it doesn't capture the full picture. I believe that immigration is something that requires more than feelings. It requires laws. And therefore, if we are going to be law-abiding citizens, then the people coming into the country need to show good faith by following the law. And I kind of use my family and other families that I know who are immigrants as examples. They came lawfully and they followed the laws. And so that's kind of what I wanted to say about it. Now, does that give you reason to now say, gosh, Father Leo, you're so mean, you're so anti-immigrant? No, remember, just re-listen to the whole first part of this conversation. I am looking at this now as a political science student and as an immigrant myself. So I just think that we need to be a nation of laws. And we also need to dedicate money and resources and energy to help those countries that are having a mass exodus. Not nation building, but support those countries so that people feel like they can at least stay there and feel at peace and, more importantly, prosper. I mean, I think that's it. And we have a limited number of resources in this own country, and it's evident. It's just evident. I was watching a little YouTube video of an African-American woman getting very angry because she said all the money is kind of going to people who are seeking asylum or immigrants who are coming in. And yet, there's very little money going to her own poor neighborhood. It's an okay argument, and it's worth an opinion listening to. And I think we need to pay attention to our own people also. America is too limited. And I think those politicians who think that America should have completely open borders and just welcome all the strangers, I love to see how they take care of their own constituents. How close are they related to them? You know, I mean, they are elected by the people of this country, not the people in other countries. I think that they're just kind of getting involved politically and confusing the situation, which is why I'm now going to just move into this opinion about what I think about immigration from the point of view as a cook, as a chef. And I know you're thinking, God, this is so stupid. Why would you even think this? Because I think it has a lot to do with it. You see, the whole migration movement has to do with food. Yes, food. And by the way, this is not only the deep dish discussion part two, it is also my carry out order. So relax and enjoy it. I'm not going to go longer. I just needed to get these points out here that I really believe that if we took care of the food situation in our world, then I think people would be less motivated to migrate and they'd be more motivated to stay. I mean, you think about like the migration of birds. They migrate, or cattle, they migrate, or fish, or whatever. I don't care. You name an animal. If they are a moving community, if they are in movement, if they are migrating, it's simply because they want to find resources to stay alive. That's why they're moving. And I think one of the things that we've got to pay attention to in the whole immigration debate is how are we providing for the people who are in transit? Yes, we have a responsibility to care for them because we have to give water to the stranger and food to the hungry. So we got to make sure that we have resources there. And those resources should not be political. They should just be there to give humanitarian effort. Thank God the Catholic Church leads the way with all of this. But we also have to address the problems in their own country. Why are they leaving in the first place? Well, they just can't even feed themselves. I look at that poor country, Venezuela. My God. I mean, it's just like crazy that people are fighting for garbage. This is a governmental issue, and it has to do with being able to provide for your family. And when they come into this country, what are we going to do? Do we have enough resources to feed them? And here's where I think, yes, we can. Did you realize that in this country alone, the United States, we throw away more food than people can even eat? We need to be less a culture of waste. If we really also want to understand the immigration debate, here's what I recommend. Eat with an immigrant. Go ahead. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Eat with an immigrant and hear their story and see if you can answer it with a silver bullet, their problems with a silver bullet. You can't. There's going to be a whole dynamic. And I think if we develop a relationship with people around the table, we're going to be, one, less afraid to welcome immigrants. And secondly, we're going to be more motivated to help them so that they can feed themselves. You know, that's the whole thing. It's the whole teach you how to fish or give you a fish. And that is part of the debate. We need to do both. We need to give them fish or whatever you want to give them. And we also need to teach them in this country or in their own country how to provide for themselves. But I just believe fully that if we are able to eat with people who are different from us, we are going to be less likely to just calling them names like murderers, rapists, and drug dealers. But at the same time, let's just admit it. There are people out there who want to take advantage of us, which is why, from the political point of view, those walls are a little necessary to protect the people inside. I mean, there was a line that President Trump offered. He said, it's not because we hate the people on the other side of the walls, but because we love the people on this side of the wall. And I think that if we're trying to be good, whether you be a Christian, whether you be a politician, or whether you be like me, a cook, you got to be able to do both. You got to be able to love the people on your side of the wall and people on the other side of the wall. And maybe one of the first things we can do is eat what they eat. Eat with them. Go ahead. Go ahead and make something South American for your family tonight, and maybe even invite people who are South American from, you know, from the borders. Hey, you might even want to even just go to Texas or Arizona where the borders are, and or San Diego, and go ahead, visit those places and get to know those people. It'll help us to demonize each other less, and we can start acting more like Jesus. And what did he do? He ate with people on the inside of the Jerusalem walls, as well as the Samaritans on the outside of the wall. And all I know is this, that if we can at least navigate through this political debate in a more fruitful and practical way, we can at least be rest assured that God will welcome us into his heavenly kingdom, which definitely probably has a wall. those pearly gates, you know what I'm saying? So the idea of answering this question, I know you're probably frustrated because you're like, man, Father Leo, I thought you were going to just tell us what to do and what to believe. Nope, Not at all. All I'm trying to do is create the conversations to bring about conversion. And my conversation today with you was simply to share with you my opinion, not just as a priest and a Catholic, but also as a political scientist who's also an immigrant, and also as a cook who has the responsibility to feed people, and more importantly, to eat with people and in a way be fed by them. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's my deep dish discussion. I know that this is a little different from my typical shows, but don't worry. Next week, we're going to be coming back with some more awesome interviews. I just felt the need to do something a little different and to give a little perspective. Because if we don't, then we're not going to be able to shoot the shiitake. We're just going to be full of shiitake. And so between now and the next time we do bring about conversions one conversation at a time, between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, I just encourage you to stay hungry. And we hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, brought to you by CatholicSpeakers.com. They have an incredible list of speakers, presenters, musicians, and performers to help make your next event an incredible faith-filled experience. So for your next speaker, go to CatholicSpeakers.com. And as always, we thank you for listening and encourage you to encourage your family and friends, parishioners, and even priests to listen, subscribe to their favorite podcast platform, and also support us. You can learn more at shoottheshiitake.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusOfLexington.com.